Today is Thursday, January the 10th, 2019. We're going to hear Reb Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Bo. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Dr. G. On your recordings that you received, Harris Goldenberg, I'm here to welcome you on behalf of Jerry. Hopefully he'll be here in a little while. He's got some business to take care of. We want to thank Rabbi Berger, as usual, Young Israel, those that set up, those that helped carry in the food tonight, the helpers of Lynn who brought the food. And as you all know, we're Melchik tonight. Rabbi Soloveitchik, you can take over. Oh, Mara, 3 minutes after class.
This week's Sedra is Parshas Bo. In Parshas Bo, so first we read about the final plagues that happened, and then we read about the Exodus, and then about the mitzvos associated with the Exodus, and the mitzvos that become obligatory as a result of the Exodus. But in the Exodus, in telling us about the Exodus, this is Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Mem, Torah says, U'mosha b'nei Yisrael asher yashu b'Mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba me'yol shana. The residents, the habitation of the children of Israel during which they dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And then it says, it was at the end of the 430 years, and it was on that very day that all the legions of Hashem left the land of Egypt. So the question is, what's going on here? We have by the Bris Bein HaBsarim, by the covenant that took place with Avram, with Abraham, between God and Abraham, God told him, your descendants will be immigrants and slaves for 400 years. When it came to, when for 400 years, so not 430 years, the actual amount of time that the Jewish people were in Egypt was, I think, 210 years. 210 years. So what is going on here? And the Pasuk says 430 years in Egypt. I was very troubled about that, how to understand the Pesukim. But historians claim, I didn't see it in any of the Svarim, but historians claim that in the land of Canaan, was that in the early years was under the control of Egypt. Now, it wasn't Egypt, that's for sure, but it was under the control of Egypt. So perhaps that could be used to understand it. However, so we have 210 years, we have 430 years, and we have 400 years. How do we reconcile all these differences? So our sages tell us that it was 430 years from the time that God made the covenant with Abraham. But the covenant itself spoke of the Jewish people being immigrants and slaves for 400 years. But that begins with the descendants of Abraham. Kiger Yiyazaracha, your descendants. And Yitzchak was born 30 years later. So it's 400 years from the time of Yitzchak, and 210 years when they were in Egypt. Now, so the question is, but it says, Kiger Yezarach Retzlam, Avodim Vino Samar B'mei Oshana, 400 years. So our sages tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishe V'Sekeitz, God, we say it in the Haggadah, he counted or evaluated it to be, so it could be understood from the perspective of the Jews who worked so hard that was equal to 400 years of work. Now, the Brisker Rav was somewhat troubled. He says, why does the Torah here emphasize the point that it was 430 years from the time the covenant was made? Why does he say it was 430 years from the time the covenant was made? Why isn't it as sufficient to say that the covenant, because the covenant itself did not speak about the dates, the covenant said that they will be enslaved for 400 years. They will be enslaved for 400 years, so it should say they were enslaved for 400 years. Why does it emphasize the point that between the covenant and the date that they went out was 430 years to the day? So the Brisker Rav says that actually there were two covenants made with Abraham. One covenant made with Abraham was a covenant regarding the slavery and the immigrant status. And that was for 400 years. But then there was another covenant that no matter what happens, the Gula, the redemption, will take place 430 years after the agreement. After the covenant was made. One had to do with the slavery, one had to do with that no matter what, there will be the gula, the case, will be after 430 years. Okay, I have some trouble with a lot of that, but I want to tell you what I think, why the Torah emphasized this. Now, I think last week in Parshas Vayera, I discussed that what Rashi says at the beginning of the Sedra, that God sort of, in a polite way, chastises Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu complained, "Umeyoz basi al Paro, from the time I came to Paro, Hey Ralamazah, it became bad. It became difficult, more difficult for the nation." In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu felt if the redemption is beginning, things should get easier. And the truth is just reverse. And the Brisker Rav points it out. On the contrary, what Moshe didn't understand was, is because God wanted to speed up the redemption, that it became more difficult. In other words, they needed to be 400 years immigrants. 400 years immigrants was no problem, because the Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they were all immigrants, even in Canaan. Canaan was not their land. It might have legally been their land. God promised it to them. Perhaps God gave it to Avram. But in fact, you see how Avram has to negotiate and to overpay to get a gravesite for Sarah. And he said himself, "Givatoshav anochi imachem." Okay, I'm a resident. I've been here many years. But nevertheless, I'm still an immigrant. I'm not part of you. And the Bnei Ches wanted him to be part of them, but he insisted that he wants to remain an immigrant. Yitzchak wanted to, Yitzchak remained because Torah tells us, Ve'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz Megure Yaviv, in the land that his father was a ger, a immigrant. Certain people can remain an immigrant for generations. And the Yaakov, according to Rashi, made a mistake. He thought that he was a Toshav. But the truth is, he wasn't. So, being an immigrant, by the way, none of this is politically inspired. So, I don't want anybody to read anything into it. So, and, you know, somewhere along the way, maybe I'll say something, but I didn't think of it yet. Okay. So Yaakov thought he was a yeshiv. He thought he was a citizen, a toshav, a full resident, but it was a mistake. And then, of course, that immigrant status continues when they go down to Egypt. So from the time of Yitzchak, and even before that, they had immigrant status. The problem was they weren't slaves for 400 years. They weren't slaves for 400 years. You can't say they were slaves in Canaan. There might have been immigrants in Canaan. They weren't citizens. But they weren't slaves. So how was that fulfilled? So that was filled. And that's the difference between being an immigrant and being a slave. When you're an immigrant, it's a chronological number of years. It's not a question of qualitative time. Every year is 1 year. However, when you talk about slave labor, so a certain person could put more than a year's worth of work in 1 year's time. And certain people can put less. There are two approaches to time, which is called qualitative time. Of course, we prefer not to use that word when we talk in a slavery perspective. There are people that accomplish, that do, when it comes to action. So time is not just evaluated by the number of days and the number of years, but what is done and the way people work during those years and during those days. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, made it harder for the Jews in order that they should have 400 years. They had 400 years of being immigrants, but they didn't have 400 years of slavery. But there, the harder the role of the slave became, the more time it was considered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKeitz. So God coincided that the years that they were slaves in Egypt should equal to 400 because of the hard work. And that was equal to the 400 years that they were immigrants that began in Canaan. So, and that coincided with the 430 years from the time that the covenant was made. This is how the Brisker Rav explains it. I want to explain it just some of this a little different, and perhaps it could even be identified with what the Brisker Rav says. But what I think is that as I began in Parshas Vayera, God chastises Moshe for complaining, and he says, "Vayera el Avram Yitzchak al Yaakov bekel Shakai. I appear to Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo nadati lehem. I gave them, as Rashi explains, I gave them commitments, I gave them promises.
And they knew that they would not see the fulfillment of those promises, the fulfillment of those commitments, but they didn't complain. And to you, Moshe, I came and I said, you're going to see it, and you complain. And I pointed out, Rashi says, Veira el avos. Why? Because that is the trait of a true parent. The trait of a true parent isn't one who necessarily is patting themselves on the back at the graduation of their kids because of the awards that they won. But the trait of a true parent is concerned about the situation their children and their grandchildren are going to have in the future. To prepare them for the future. And sometimes, and very often, it's a future that the parents do not share. And that's why I mentioned Esav. In theory, Esav could have been. Esav was a descendant of Yitzchak. Why couldn't he be the successor? Because Esav was interested in the now, not in the later. Esav says, "Anochi holech lomos v'lomali b'chora. I am going to die. What do I need the birthright for?" That's later. He didn't care about the future. He cared only about the present. Parenthood should focus, and certainly Jewish parenthood, on the one focusing on the future, not on the present. And I think that is why the Torah, it says Vayihi Miketz. What do we find? Parshas Miketz, we find Vayihi Miketz. It was after 2 years. After 2 years, after what? After what was said just before that. Well, before that, it was talked about Yosef being in prison, Yosef talking to the butler of Paro. It's when we say Vayihi Miketz, it's not the beginning of something. It's a continuation. So it was after. One of the secretaries at the yeshiva used to sometimes talk to the boys in the yeshiva against the people in the office. So she would tell us about one of the people in the office that he once dictated a letter to her, and he started off like this: "On the other hand," that's how he started the letter. In other words, maybe. On the other hand, you have to say that after you said something on the first hand. So it says, Shloshim Shana Varba Meil Shana. It's the end. What is it going back on? It's going back on the Bris Bein HaBsarim. And the covenant. That's what Rashi is saying. It's going back on the covenant. And the Torah is emphasizing, twice it mentions here, that it's 430 years. Who cares? Why? That's a historical fact. But the Torah wants to emphasize that, and this is an issue that comes up every year. Who is the central? We celebrate Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Haggadah of Pesach. Who is the central figure? Okay, Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Hashem. Okay, I'm talking personal figure. Who is the personal figure? Avram. Why? Because this shows the God fulfilling his commitment. It's recognition of the fact that God fulfilled his commitment. And that's what you look at the Haggadah. Mitchilov, the Avodazar, he's Ashakevan Amakon. And then who is it talking about? It talks about Avram. And I take him to Eretz Canaan, and I bring him throughout all of Eretz Canaan. So Avraham is the And so, in a sense, Hanukkah, and I've mentioned, the Zohar says that Pesach is the holiday of Avram. As a matter of fact, everybody knows the Medrash, the Matzos. The Matzos, when Avram had the Maharish Shlosh Siyim Solis, many Taskein Baal Tosfos says, because when he told her to make three cakes, so to say, so three. So that's why we Daskein Baal Tosfos says, and this week's Sedra, that's why there are three matzos. We're identifying with the meal of Avram, which, according to the Medrash, was Pesach time, when the three malachim came. Maybe that's part of the reason everybody, the Koshel Leo plays big role. But in any case, the three malachim, the three angels came to so it's Avram, but it's more than that. What it tells us is that a person has to be patient. In other words, sometimes we begin to not believe or lose faith because it's taking so long. One of the 13 basic beliefs, achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo, a person has to look forward each day to the coming of Mashiach, doesn't mean that you have to believe that Mashiach necessarily will come. You don't go around with what they used to call it, beepers, that if Mashiach comes, that they're going to beep you. There were some that used to do that. But the idea is the passage of time, and matter of fact, the Rambam's text in the Haggadah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechashev Es HaKeitz K'mosha Amar L'Avram Avinu. It doesn't say Chishev. In other words, according to the Rambam, the Haggadah is not just emphasizing the Keitz then, the deliverance from Egypt, but the Haggadah is emphasizing the delivery of the future, but the exodus from Egypt is seen as the blueprint for the future. In other words, we have to learn part of the purpose. What was the purpose? I always discuss what was the purpose of the exile in Egypt and of the slavery and everything. Part of it was that the Jewish people should know how to deal with exile in the future. All the ancient nations, when they faced exile, when they faced bondage, they crumbled as a nation. The Jewish people alone survived as a nation. Why is it? Because in their very foundation as a nation, they encountered these difficulties, so they were able to deal with these difficulties. So part of the purpose of the bondage in Egypt, part of the purpose of the bondage of Egypt is to prepare us for the future. And it's true that in Egypt many Jews probably at certain points more or less gave up. On the other hand, we find when things got harder, the Tal Shavasim Elokim, when things became more difficult, many of those who previously did not turn to God, V'yonchu b'nei Yisrael min avoda, when they couldn't bear it anymore. So there are those when they can't bear it anymore, they just give up. And there are those when it's just unbearable, they recognize there is one other hope. The unfortunate thing is that they wait for the last moment. So long as there is another alternative, they don't always turn to God. When they say in the, there are no atheists in foxholes. So, and when things become unbearable, the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to tell us about 430 years, is to tell us that the commitment that was given was fulfilled, but the commitment that was given was fulfilled, but but more than that, it was that it's you don't have it always right away. The Torah tells us, I don't know if I mentioned it this year, I think I did, the era comes immediately, God complains to, Moshe complains to Jewish people, to God, Bahatzilo itzaltas amecha, you didn't save your people. So God gives an answer, he says, Ata tira, you'll see. You will see what I will do. He answers him. And then, there's another parsha, another sedra also, but another parsha. V'yidaber shel Moshe lemor ve'era el avim yitzchak yaakov bekel shakai. God, in a sense, cuts his answer in two. The first half of the answer is atotira. You'll see what I'll do to Paro. And the second half of the answer, which came later, not at the same time, was I, Moshe. To the Avos, to the patriarchs, I appeared, they didn't complain, and you complained. It really was all part of one answer. Why did God give it as two separate answers? And Ezra, who made the Sedras, he emphasized that point by making the new Sedra right in the middle between the two parts of the one answer. Why is it? Because we have to learn, on one hand, achakalo b'chol yom shiyava. We have to look forward. We have to look forward for the redemption at every moment. We have to have faith. On the other hand, and you know, people think, how is it possible? And I mentioned this before, but you know, okay, I'm getting older. I'm 69 years old. But there was a time that I couldn't have imagined the Soviet Union falling apart. Couldn't have imagined it. And it's like, it happened almost overnight.
None of us could.
Huh?
None of us
okay,
could.
All right. I speak for myself. It happened overnight. And the Gula, the redemption, could also take that place. Even though it took so long. But the Gula can happen right away. You know, but we have to have patience. In other words, we look forward to Gula taking place right away. But the fact that it didn't take place right away isn't a reason to give up hope. And I think that's what the Torah is emphasizing here. The Torah is emphasizing that from the time God appeared to Avram, Avram was an immigrant all those years. And Avraham was promised everything. And Avraham didn't complain. And Yitzhak didn't complain. And Yaakov, who made a mistake, but he didn't complain against God. He didn't complain against the circumstances that happened. He became depressed, but he didn't complain. And so we have to learn from these circumstances that the fact that it took so long is not a reason to give up hope, because this is the blueprint for the future goal. I mentioned what my uncle says. I consider it one of the nicest thoughts. He says, on one hand, the Rambam paskins. On one hand, the Rambam paskins, Ein Yisrael Megalin El B'Tshuva. The Jewish people will only be redeemed when they do tshuva. On the other hand, the Rambam says, you have to look forward. You have to look forward to the Jewish people being redeemed at any moment. How do we take these two things together? How is it possible to believe that we could be redeemed at any moment, and at the same time to believe that we're going to only be redeemed if we do tshuva, to repent? How is it possible? But our faith in the coming of the Gula, my uncle said, is grounded in our faith in the Jewish people. In other words, we have to believe that the Jewish people at any moment can return to the ways of God. And that's, and in a sense, sometimes that comes as a result of being oppressed more. And that's exactly what happened with the Jewish people. When did they turn to God? When Vayamas Melech Mitzrayim, when the king of Egypt died. And up till that point, they thought they'll get another king. It was only one bad paro. And everything will go well. And the Egyptians really like them, and they'll put them, restore them to their dignity. And then nothing happened. Or maybe things even got worse. So they couldn't bear the burden anymore. So to a certain degree, there was a return to God at that point. And that's when God tries to speed up the Gula, speed up the redemption. That's when God appears to Moshe. And to a certain degree, we face that same dilemma today. We face that dilemma, perhaps even more so than in Gulas Mitzrayim. By Mitzrayim, there were dates set. After X amount of years of slavery, the Jews are going to be redeemed. The second exile, there is no amounts of years are given. There is a set date that's known in heaven by which we certainly have to be redeemed, but we could be redeemed at any day. But to be redeemed at any day, we have to do tshuva. So we have to have faith, not only that we're going to be redeemed, but we have to have faith in the Jewish people, that the Jewish people will correct their ways in such a manner that they could be redeemed in any day.
Gotcha. Moshe Feinstein says, the meaning of Leil Shemur is until the exact time that he can take the
mark.
Ramosha, the class next week?
No class next week.
No class next week. We're going to dive in Marv in about 3 minutes after class. Everybody have a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos, as Jerry would say.